Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, June 11th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 63, the fourth paragraph. Next, we launched out, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps Terry S., 12 Traditions Teresa C. Reader of the text is Roz G. Julie E. B. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Sherry K. B. The reference number for Thursday, June 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,122. That's 17,122. And for this morning, Friday, June 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 17,134. That's 17,134. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Leah S., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry S. to read the 12 Steps. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Terry, an Oregon food addict. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Terry S. And now I'll ask Teresa C. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Teresa C., compulsive overeater from New Jersey. 1. The traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you so much, Teresa C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 63, the fourth paragraph that starts with, "Next, we launched out," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Roz G. to begin reading. Good morning, Roz.
Thank you, everybody. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Palmdale, California. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. Okay, so I want to just point out some very strong words in this paragraph. Vigorous, vital, crucial, strenuous, blocking. Okay, but yeah, to me those are permanent. Those are very strong words. And my attention was drawn towards the two words, vital and crucial. In my earlier days, earlier young adulthood, I was a paramedic. And the first thing that we had to do was take vital signs. And when you go to the emergency room, the first thing that the tech, the nurse, or whoever tends to you does is check for your vital signs. Because your vital signs tell you what kind of condition you're in. And vital signs tell me, that, you know, if I'm living. And so in this paragraph, I see the word is vital. If I'm going to survive, if I'm going to recover from this deadly disease, I need to do this step. And how many years did I go to meetings and sit and complain or listen to other people complain? Never, you know, the Big Book sat on the table in the corner. And while I'm grateful for that, you know, at least it brought me to a meeting and I was going in some kind of a positive step. I really wasn't looking at what it was I needed to recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And so I would have to say that in my experience, I've done the fourth, you know, I've done this step many times, and it always reveals what has been blocking me. And the causes and conditions are always related to my self-centeredness, my self-seeking, and my selfishness. And without, and before when I didn't take a thorough fourth step, I didn't see any recovery in my life, very little. I was dieting with group support. So just to say that it is important, it is vital, it is crucial, and it's something that I have to do in order to receive a permanent recovery. And not only that, I have to do it every day in the form of the 10th step, you know? I have to do this every day. I have to take all the steps. And I don't really have much more to say on this paragraph, just that it is vital, crucial, and I need to get it done. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G., for getting us started. I'll now be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Irene B.
Janice P.M.
Irene B., Janice P.M.
Christina J.
Christina J. Anyone else?
Teresa C.
Teresa C. Okay, I've got Irene B., Janice P.M., Christina J., and Teresa C. Go ahead and get us started, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., gratefully recovered bulimic and thankful to be able to say that. I love this paragraph because it says, my truth, it says that liquor was but a symptom. Yeah, food is but a symptom. We have to get down to causes and conditions. And in this requires complete abstinence because we have to be able to look at ourselves honestly. And I didn't have honesty because I was in so much denial and I was so out of touch with my feelings that I did not know how to do this. And I thought I was terminally unique. And then I thought I was always the victim. And the most liberating part for me of doing this step was to see what my part in it was. I never thought this concept of looking at what my part in something is was completely revolutionary to me, and it was very helpful. But what helped me the most is to experience God's love through the unconditional love of my sponsor, who showed me unconditional love the way that I've never been shown before. Because personally for me, the problem was in my thinking, the internalized messages from infancy seared into my brain by cognitive distortions, most importantly, perfectionism and black and white thinking, all my core irrational beliefs that drive my unconscious self-talk, my unconscious thinking that I was not aware of. So I couldn't tackle those problems because I was not aware of it. I just, I experienced my feelings as a desire to binge and purge, and that's all I knew. But here in this book on page 164, it says, we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. And it's like, oh my gosh, that has to do, for me, I take it has to do with my thinking. And it says in here, Bill, in a letter to a friend, wrote about deepening the AA moral inventory to focus on what he called the psychic damage. The idea would be to extend the moral inventory of AA to a deeper level, making it an inventory of psychic damages. And then he wrote, I suppose someday Neurotics Anonymous will be formed and will actually do all of this. And then he later suggests that inventory be about episodes of inferiority, shame, guilt and anger. So for me, this is a process that is so convoluted. I'll just say that I was out of options. This was my last stop, my last chance. And thank God for programming. Thank God for OA. And thank God for Vision for you. I love you all. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Irene B. Janice PM, will you share with us, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Janice.
Well, good morning to you, Dawn, and everyone. I'll be glad to share whatever I have, my experience, strength, and hope. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm from Massachusetts. Next, I liked the lady, the woman that talked about some very important words, but the very first important word is next. We just got through committing ourselves, abandoning ourselves to a higher power, that we're going to start this not a year from now after we take step three. We're going to do it next. That means at once, not 6 months, like I said, not a year. It's, and we're going to launch out. Well, that reminds me of a lot of action. When a rocket ship is launched, it goes boom right away. There's no waiting. And this is the course of vigorous action that we're going to unblock. A power greater than ourselves is going to unblock as we do this action. Remember, we did step three. We took step three. We decided that this was a vital step. But a vital step is nothing unless it's once followed by an effort to face my disabilities, my liabilities, not yours, not my father's, not my mother's, not the people in the program, because these are the things that was blocking me from that grace, from the grace of that higher power that is going to give me a brand new life, because food was just a symptom. That's not my problem. It's what's underneath that makes me want to eat. And this is what we're doing. We're going to write down, you know, on column three, column four, exactly what it is about me. Things that I didn't even think it was about me. I thought it was about you. That's why that was my problem, was you. But I found out my real problem was me. So we have to, you know, I have to do this. I want to do this. And what a freedom after making that decision to launch out right away to do this vigorous action. And we will walk through that arch, a free woman and a free man. And pardon me, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Christina J., will you share with us now, followed by Teresa C. Good morning, Christina.
Morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Thanks to everyone on the line doing service today. Christina J. from the state of Washington. Inside of every person, deep within the center of the heart, buried down in there in that beautiful beating pulse of life, is a little flame, and it's burning. And up in the sky is a beautiful sun. And some days it's cloudy, some days it's not. When that sun is shining, it's like the sunlight of the spirit brightens the whole world. And for me, for years, that sunlight would not penetrate down to that little flame to make it bigger. And so I didn't know. I didn't know. But I was, all of my life, I was restless, irritable, and discontent. All of my life, I was pushing and shoving and, why wasn't I getting mine? Why wasn't I getting ahead in life? Why was I using food? It was just a constant battle. It was exhausting. 2014, I came into this program, and it took me until just almost 11 months ago to finally understand that making a decision in step three was not handing my life over quite yet. Just making a decision to allow this sunlight to begin to penetrate. And how can I help that sunlight penetrate? By diving into action. Next, I launched. And I didn't know what I was getting into in this step four. You know, I was excited, actually, when it said to list down all this stuff. I didn't know it was in the way. I didn't know what I was going to find out in that fourth column. But what I found out was the beginning, and I did that in 14. But I had a small awakening, but I still didn't realize the massive amount of control I was still running my life with. I found areas I was judgmental, I was self-centered, I was selfish, and I was mostly fearful. But it still didn't quite relieve me because I didn't have complete neutrality around the food. I was still using my abstinent foods. I was still messing around. I still wasn't getting that sunlight of the spirit penetrating down deep because I didn't do a thorough house cleaning. And that's what you need to do. This is like you're inviting the guest, the beautiful guest that's been waiting to come in and take up residence in your heart. And you've got to clean the house because you can't even get in. It's so packed up with self-control and selfishness. I'm speaking for myself and fear. It's keeping that beautiful peace out. Every morning I sit and I ask God to open that door again and come in, and I release all of my bullshit to him, and he comes flooding in to give me peace and serenity for the day. And that's how I stay neutral around food. Dive in and get this four-step done. Dive in and start your work. It takes the top layer. Thank you. It takes the top layer off, and then that sunlight can begin to beam in and enliven and make that flame in your heart bigger. God bless everyone. I love you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from Washington. Teresa C., will you share with us now, and then I'll be opening up the lines. Good morning, Teresa.
Yes. Thank you, Dawn. This is Teresa from New Jersey. I'm a compulsive overeater. I want to thank everybody for their sharings. It's really been powerful so far this morning in getting all your insights. There are so many things, and so many of them have been already talked about as far as what this paragraph said to me. I loved hearing about launching out. And I was very fearful when I first started to have to write down, these roadblocks and character defects, because that's really what I was focusing on at the time. Although I did in my very first one, have assets and deficits, if you want to call them that. But the thing that struck me most as I was reading it today was, this personal housekeeping, and somebody else talked about it. That this was really focusing on me. And this is one of the first times that I really had to take responsibility for what was going on in my life. It was so easy to point the finger at other people. And of course, an old dear friend of mine in program told me that, thing about when you're pointing one finger at somebody else, there's three fingers pointing back at you. And I have to say, it's still difficult sometimes. I'm working with a sponsor, and she'll say to me, so what's your part in this? Where's the dishonesty? And I'm like, oh God, I can't think of any. it doesn't always come to me. It's still hard sometimes, but I'm working on it, and I think I'm getting better at it. And my higher power is helping. And as I unblock some things, other things come to light, which is a beautiful thing about this program. I love that. I've been in OA for a number of years. I've done a number of personal inventories, looking at myself. And each time, new things come up. Amazing. And it's very healing for me. It's very healing to know that I'm doing this. I'm taking care of things, and my life is getting better. My higher power is helping me. I think each time I do the fourth step, I'm not afraid of doing that anymore. I'm really searching, really digging and searching for, what I've missed in the past, in my past inventories, to get me through. So I'll pass on that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Teresa C. from New Jersey. And I'm now going to open up the lines to take people's names who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Kathy.
Pardon?
Kathy Z.
Kathy? And
yes.
your initial was C?
Z as in zebra.
Oh, Z, very good.
Thank you.
Julie E.B. Tamara J.
Pamela J.
Tamara with a T, J.
Oh, Tamara J, very good.
Carmela G.
Okay, we've got Kathy Z, Julie E.B., Tamara J., and Carmela G. Kathy Z, please go ahead this morning.
Hi, this is Kathy Z from Washington State, compulsive overeater, recovered today. Thank you for your service, Dawn. So right before I embarked here on all this wonderful work, I can say it's wonderful work now, I was pretty scared. And what I want to remind newcomers of is that if you've made it to this point already, the willingness is there. You've already taken that step through the third step prayer. You've asked your higher power to join you. You've submitted yourself to higher power. You have tried to abandon yourself to higher power. So taking this next step, you're not alone. You have all of us here by your side. Higher power is right there in front of you, behind you, and with you. And you have your sponsor, and you have wonderful tools. A lot of tools that I used, I listened to a lot of special editions and a lot of podcasts that I got from our website, Vision for You, number4you.com. And I listened to a lot of other people's experience, strength, and hope that went through this process before me. And that gave me a lot of encouragement and a lot of hope. And it helped me to step into it and just really work through this step and learn about myself and grow. And I'm so thankful that I have gone through this and that I actually lift it up and go through it every day with God in my foresight. And I'm continually being changed and transformed every day through this love that's so strong in my fellowship, in my higher power, and I have so much hope for the future. And I'm so thankful to be abstinent and recovered today. And thank you for the 12 steps in this program, in this group, and thank you for letting me share. You all have a great weekend. God bless everybody.
Thank you so much, Kathy Z from Washington. Julie E.B., will you share with us now, followed by Tamara J. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Launched out is very timely, considering there's people signing up to be launched into space for a bunch of money. It's really to be propelled in a way that we can't understand. And so one way is to think about that it's all us, but it doesn't say I launched out, it says we. So we have to remember that, I need to remember that my higher power goes with me and is the one launching me. Having a loving higher power, I used to do everything based, as I've shared before, on fear, on guilt, and on anger. You know, that's how I'd whip myself up into a diet or to try to be a better person or whatever it was. Well, now I'm being launched by a higher power who has seen me and loves me and offers me care and protection, which is the provision of everything I need for my health, welfare, maintenance, my condition, prevention of injury and harm. So this is not something that I launch out on alone. We launch out, and it's vigorous action. This house cleaning is not something that I had attempted in this way. But the decision is one piece, but facing and being rid of things is very powerful. Getting down to causes and conditions, seeing that if I'm the problem, there is a solution, But for me, it's fueled by the fact that I'm the problem and my higher power loves me anyway. So those are the things for me I didn't even used to face. I figured no one knew when I was underweight or overweight or anything in between. I figured that no one knew that I was desperately just trying to smile and wave and force myself through life. And it turns out that when I would face these things with a loving higher power, I didn't need to be motivated anymore. I could have a higher power that would remove my fear, remove my anger, and remove my guilt and help me make right the wrongs. The bottle was but a symptom. The food was but a symptom. The real problem is all this buildup, all this crud that was keeping my rocket from launching. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. from Colorado. Tamara J. will you share with us now, followed by Carmela G. Good morning, Tamara.
Yes, I'm Tamara J. from California, a compulsive overeater. And when I first came into OA, I came here looking for a diet. That's all I wanted. And in fact, in those days, they had them. I could never stay on one for more than, I don't know, a day or two. And I could not figure that. What was wrong with me? I couldn't figure it out because everybody else was getting it. But I felt in those days that I was almost perfect, you know, because I was the person that helped everybody else. So I didn't see that I had issues, that I was the problem. Absolutely didn't. It was everyone else. So when I got here and I continued to hear them read the steps before they'd start the meeting, I was scared to death. There was no way I was going to do the steps. There was no way that I was going to look at myself and do this, what they call thorough housekeeping. There was no way that I was going to be honest with myself. And so I had to keep eating. And the years went by and the weight came on and I had to keep eating. And I'd come back into OA and I'd stick around. Maybe the meeting was once a week. I might come back 2 or 3 weeks. But I did nothing else. And so I'm grateful this time around to be here. And I'm grateful that today I'm willing to listen. And so I've done this fourth step. And the good news is I did not die. Did not die. And I got a chance to learn about my character defects, which I didn't know I had because, remember, I was almost perfect. So anyway, I'm grateful to be here, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tamara J. from California. Carmela G., will you share with us now, and then I'll be opening up the lines. And we are on page 63, the fourth paragraph. Next, we launched out. Good morning, Carmela.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you all for being on the line. This is Carmela G., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from New York. Vital and crucial. Our decision to take this vital and crucial step. It was amazing that I think back to my wise first sponsor who, after I surrendered, and I thought, well, that's easy. Who doesn't want to surrender and be cared for? And I surrendered, and I was willing to work the rest. My sponsor said to me, now, you're going to do your inventory, and it's going to be up to you to dig in. And my perfectionism kicked in. I wanted to be perfect. And when I was dragging myself a little bit too long because of my perfectionism, she said, we are ending this soon, and you're going to turn it over because God will reveal to you what you need to turn over. And what I have learned, when I faced my perfectionism and I realized and asked my higher power that I call God, God, please reveal to me what it is necessary that I put on this inventory and what I let bubble up and get out. In his love and in his mercy, it continues on. so that the initial inventory that I was able to reveal and discard and share every day, maybe something will bubble up and I can turn it over in a 10-step and give it to him and be free. And the joy that comes from living every single day in these steps and surrendering every day is miraculous, because I am such a defective individual. But you see, my higher power gives me so much love and understanding and mercy that he reveals the dosage that I need every day so that I can face instead of shoving down all of those things that I did not want to face for 6 decades. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carmela G. from New York. And I'm now going to open up the lines to take names of people who'd like to share in this paragraph, although we value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Carol F.
Sarah N. in California.
Was that Carol F.?
Yes.
Okay. And who is the other person?
Sarah N.
Sarah N.?
Yes.
Okay.
Marie B.
Marie B.
Ginger C.
And Ginger C. Okay, Carol F., please share with us this morning.
Okay, thank you. And good morning to everyone on the line. I'm Carol F. from Maryland. I made some notes as we were going along this morning. And what I jotted down was that taking this step helped me to relieve the pressure that was holding me down, holding my emotions and feelings down. My feelings, some of which I had only felt one time, and this time for the second time, because the first time that I felt my feelings, they overwhelmed me so bad that they had to be stuffed down, and they stayed down for ages. And what allowed me to do this was the safety net of my higher power, and my sponsor allowed me to have the courage to do the step. And when I was done, there was really no boogeyman there, just a little kid who was now free to grow and thrive. And I was done with guilt, shame, and remorse over the issues, people, places, and things. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Carol F. And now Sarah N., will you share with us, followed by Marie B.? Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, and thank you so much for your service. Grateful to be here. My name is Sarah N., and I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in California. You know, what was coming up for me is I was never a very good cook, but when I wanted to prepare something to impress others or to get it right, I always had to follow a recipe. And when we're in the chapter, How It Works. And when I would follow that recipe, the precise instructions, it would say, you know, use words like first do this, then do that, next you add this. And when I'd follow those directions exactly, whatever I was creating would come out brilliantly, perfectly, get all kinds of, you know, compliments that came out great. And so this is simply the instructions. And, you know, if you're new, it's like you're kind of jumping in the middle, but we realize, you know, what page we're on here, we're kind of already far in to the solution or how it works. So I love, next we launched out on a course of vigorous action. And I really love the emphasis on so many key words in here, the vigorous action, not, hey, a little bit of time, vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted, right? Because we didn't even realize that. And though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which have been blocking us. So I, you know, I have heard, you know, many times, you know, I do steps 1, 2, and 3 every day, which I say before every meal. But the steps 1, 2, and 3, you know, admitting I'm powerless, knowing that there's, you know, coming to believe that there's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. And then, you know, okay, I make this decision. Okay, God, I'm going to turn it over. But it has little permanent effect, you know, long term, unless it's at once, right there, that at once, followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of those things in ourselves which have been blocking us. And that's just so powerful. So we have, you know, we're just going to keep going through this recipe, these instructions, one paragraph at a time. And I'm grateful for loving sponsors who guide me through these. And I don't have to do everything at once. I just take it one part at a time, right? And that's what allows me to get to this whole new space in life, this whole new way of seeing and thinking. And the food is kind of in the rearview mirror, you know, neutral around the food. And now I'm like, wow, you know, seeing all these other parts of my life that I get to address. So thank you for letting me be of service. And everyone, have a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Sarah N. from California. Marie B., will you share with us now, followed by Ginger C.? Good morning, Marie.
Great. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep. Sure Great. Can.
All right. Good morning, everyone. So grateful to be here. The fourth step, this paragraph, I mean, it just has so much meaning to me as someone who actually started program in 2006 and then relapsed for probably the last, 7 years, I guess. One thing I had always, when I was in program before, one of the mistakes I always made was took the first 3 steps, kept coming to meetings, you know, kind of flirted with step 4, and concentrated a little more on getting chips of abstinence. So basically it was a diet with a support group. And it wasn't until I met a sponsor who just said, you know, and this says it perfectly in the big book, it could have little permanent effect unless it was at once followed by strenuous face-to-face, an effort face-to-face to get rid of the things that have been blocking us. And so I did do a step 4 back in the day, and I'm glad I did. I got rid of some of the grosser things. But this time in rehab, recovery, what I noticed was that I thought, I've gotten rid of the big things. I'm going to do a step 4. It won't be that much. There was like a page and a half of things that I had resentments and fears around. And I looked at that and I realized that I had been blocking myself from the spirit. It wasn't going to be one or two little things I needed to clean up and then move on. But, you know, there was quite a bit. And I'm so glad I had the courage to just do the 4th step, not think about it, not flirt with it, but just do it. And it does take courage. I know so many people who hesitate with step 4, but if you're thinking about it, just dive in, just write one thing, you know, to help. And now that I'm, you know, working in later steps in program, I can just say I'm so grateful because it showed me things that I needed to see at this stage in my life. I needed to clean up and restore my relationship with God, which is the most important relationship in my life. So anyway, I offer everyone encouragement and cheering you on from Maryland. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Marie B. from Maryland. Ginger C., will you share with us now, please?
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater, and I'm calling in from Colorado. Glad to be with you all this lovely Friday morning, and I love these two words, causes and conditions. I'm still a little surprised and then really not surprised that I ate again, because the fact is I eat. I don't stay recovered. I eat. And I love those two words because with a relapse, you know, part of my work now is what the hell happened? what's going on here with this picture. So hopefully, with God's grace, I don't have to repeat more research. And these causes and conditions, these issues in my tissues, the pain that I have run from my entire life, that is a place that I don't even know if the big book really can address and get to, and that I think I will continue to repeat some effect because it's so great and it's inside me and it rises and I dismiss it. I get into 10th step. I want to turn it around quickly, right? Really a lot of selfish motive there. Want to just feel better. So let's get on a phone call and let's do this quickly. And does it really go away? It's inside me. And so one of the greatest gifts that I've seen with this relapse, it's always an inside job. And I've got to go meet that pain. And with God, I know I can do that. It's a divine therapy. And it absolutely is possible. But I have to open Pandora's box. I have to stop running from what scares me the greatest. And that's the pain from the past. And that's the pain that's still within me. And I really have never gone there in the way that I need to in order to, I think, really stay not only recovered, but in a greater way of maximum usefulness. Because when I do that deeper, harder work, again, I can connect to your pain. And we all have it. But I just want to end. There's an incredible series going on right now. It's a little bit of an outside issue, so I'm not going to mention the name in respect to this meeting. But if you would like a little bit more information, it's phenomenal. And I think it shows a lot of what we all suffer as addicts. And I'd be happy to share that with you offline. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. from Colorado. And we do have time for an additional share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So is there someone else who would like to share with us this morning?
Cheryl S.
Cheryl S. Okay, go ahead, Cheryl.
Yes, good morning. If you hear any background, it's mine, but I had to share. Thank you, moderator and timekeeper, and thank you all for the shares. I can't recover alone. I want to say that I'm grateful today. I'm grateful for my journey today. What sticks out for me is the one line, and it says, you know, our alcohol was but a symptom. So we had to get down to the causes and the conditions. Oh my God, I love that. It touches my spirit. I heard here at A Vision for You many, many years ago, a woman share, and I reached out to her after the meeting, and I read Bill W.'s Next Frontier, and it changed my life. It helped me to get down to the causes and the effects of what was wrong with me. And I think about page 28. It talks about the flimsy reed, the powerful loving hand, I'm paraphrasing, the powerful loving hand of my loving higher power as I identify him, her. And that is what changed me so much. And, you know, in my core. I came here very compulsive, overeater, and pretty compulsive in all areas of my life that I have to keep coming back. And I found out, like many of my red light foods, I don't even like. And I didn't know it, that I was using these foods to fill a void. And my taste buds have just miraculously changed. And it's still just astonishing to me, just like my blood pressure. I said, no, that's not my blood pressure. Take it again. And the nurse is looking at me like, man, And I'm looking at her like, take it again. Because my blood pressure had never been 117 over 70. You know, I was in stroke blood pressure, 200 over 100 plus. I'm so grateful today for many changes in my life, in my health. My ankles don't swell anymore. My hands don't swell anymore. I check my labs every 6 months, and I'll wrap it up. I just care so much more about myself unconditionally than I ever have in my life. Thank you so much for letting me share my truth, and thank you all for being here for me. I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. And could you tell us what state you're calling from?
Yes, I apologize. Maryland. Cheryl, S is in Sam, and I'm from Maryland.
Very good. Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Maryland. And we'll now close. Thank you. That was beautiful. We're so happy for you. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
This is Julie E.B. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.